Our scripture reading for today is found in the Gospel according to Luke. We'll be looking at chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue was fixed on him. And then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The word of the Lord. Please be seated. So I want to give you some advance warning. I am about to use some offensive terms. Well, at least offensive terms to those of you who live in the Garden State or in the metropolitan New York area. So I want you all to be prepared. Maybe hold the hand of the person next to you. Ushers, prepare for any fainting or anything that's about to happen. So I just want to say those words ahead of time so that you're ready. There are two, okay? One is New England Patriots. Okay, all right. We're good? We need some recovery time? Okay, all right, just prepare yourself for that word. And the second one, Bill Belichick. I know. Okay. So we've got those words out of the way. All right. And I apologize. This is a holy place. But it's important to use those words for illustration purposes today. So you're going to be hearing those words a bit over the course of the next week or so, and if my wife has anything to do with it, for the next year, you will hear the phrase, "World Champion New England Patriots." Because, of course, the New England Patriots are in the Super Bowl, and anybody, I saw some celebration back here as well, anybody who their heart lies in New England, then their body is in New Jersey, is very happy with what's going on in the Super Bowl. And they're playing the Rams, some little team out in L.A. I used to be in St. Louis. None of us are crying about the fact that they're back in Los Angeles. But the New England Patriots. All right, so we've got that out of the way. In 2014, NFL Films explored the mantra of the New England Patriots with a film simply called, do you know it? Do Your Job. All right? So that is the mantra, however you say that, of the New England Patriots. That is the phrase that the New England Patriots follow. Do your job. Now, everybody knew, I've been in the Boston, anywhere in New England. If you go in, you want to buy a New England Patriot shirt, chances are you'll be able to find one that says, "New England Patriots, do your job. Because that is a phrase that everybody knows. They know that that's what drives the New England Patriots, which, for some of our hearing, doesn't sound like the most inspiring of phrases that you could possibly say. Do your job. But it's a thing that moves them forward. Do your job doesn't sound particularly exciting for many of us. We get up and do that every single day. Monday, we get up and we do our job. Like, that's what we do. We go to work and we do our job. And we look forward to Friday when we no longer have to do our job, right? And you go, oh man, the New England Patriots are driven by this phrase, do your job. We don't get awards or celebrations for the things that we're supposed to be doing. There's a great line in there's a movie, the Pelham, the Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, John Travolta stars. And one of John Travolta's henchmen, he plays the head of this criminal group of guys. And one of them comes up and he basically is looking for a pat on the head for something that he did. And John Travolta's character looks at him and says, you don't get any awards for doing what you're supposed to be doing, for doing your job. You were supposed to do that. So go on and do your next job. See, it's not something that seems to be particularly inspiring, but the concept behind this phrase from Belichick is that the New England Patriots are going to do extraordinary things by doing ordinary things very, very well. By each of them doing their own ordinary thing and doing it to the best of their ability. See, 11 players take the field, and all of them have different jobs to do. They have different gifts, if you will, skills, but they all have one united goal, and that is to win football games. To move this ball 100 yards to the other side. That's their job. But see, the outcome of the game is not guaranteed. See, there are Rams in the way. Right? Now, if I really wanted to get serious, I could preach the passages where Rams get sacrificed and happens all through, and there would be some celebration from at least two people here in the crowd. There are Rams in the way. See, we love victories. But victories always come in the face of obstacles. In fact, those victories sometimes are so overwhelming that few of us actually get in the game. We would rather sit on the sidelines and watch other people do their job, watch other people overcome the obstacles. In fact, we're happy to pay them an extraordinary amount of money to go do what we do not want to do. We don't have the skills to do. We don't have the passion to do, but we are passionate about them doing their job, and we're happy to pay them. I had mentioned that there is, you know, Super Bowl tickets literally are the cheapest that they've been in a long time. Bottom ticket is $3,000. Top ticket's about $15,000. That is a cheap ticket for the Super Bowl. But people, the stands are going to be jam-packed with people happy to watch from the sidelines while others do their job. Jesus, in our passage, gets to his hometown and stands up, which is the custom in the synagogue in the day, that basically any capable man was welcome to read the passage. But of course, as the hometown boy that they have heard stories of him doing miracles and doing all kinds of good, he comes back to town and he's there in the synagogue. And of course, they want him to read the passage. And they hand him the scroll of Isaiah. Jesus unrolls the scroll and reads this particular passage that you heard today. Well, you heard a translation of the passage. I thought it would be fair for you to hear the passage. This is a reading from the Tanakh. This is actually from the Jewish scriptures. This would be, of course, the English translation of what Jesus would have actually read. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me as a herald of joy to the humble, to bind up the wounded of heart, to proclaim release to the captives, liberation to the imprisoned, and to proclaim a year of the Lord's favor. So what is this passage all about? This passage, debating, the scholars have been debating for centuries, literally, about who the speaker is and who they're speaking to. But ultimately, this passage falls under the category of Jubilee. Now, Jubilee was a concept that was written into the law. See, Israel, every Israelite family, when they moved into the land, they each got a portion of land. They each got a little bit of land. That was their inheritance. That is what they were able to farm, to live on. That was their livelihood, all of it. Everybody got a plot of land. And that was what your family could use and run and live off of. But, of course, things happen, right? How many of you have ever had experience where things just happen? The bottom just falls out. And for people, that was something that could happen. The bottom could fall out for people. And they could find themselves in a state of debt that they were unaware of, whether it was drought or whether it was an invading army or whether it was a patriarch had passed. Whatever the reason was that caused them to enter into this state of debt, it happened. And they had a couple of options. One, they could sell their land. And if they sold their land, and there were, of course, people willing to buy their land, their family's inheritance, they could pay off a portion of the debt. If they paid off all of their debt, fine. Often they would become, in a sense, indentured servants on the land in which their family owned. They would go to work for the people that were there. If they could not pay the debt, they ended up in prison until the debt was paid off, which sounds like a bad plan, but they ended up in prison. And so the situation that you have is that if you found yourself in dire straits, that you would lose your family's land and potentially lose your own freedom. But there is something built into the law called Jubilee, that every 50 years, everything gets reset. It was the Jubilee year. And what that means is that the prisons were emptied, and for all of you going, that sounds like a terrible plan, understood that the only reason you were in prison was debt, right? Because what happened to you for any other crime? Yeah, you were stoned and killed and cast out. You know, so no, there's not hardened criminals in prison, right? These are just people that have fallen on hard times. So prison is released. Land is given back to the original family who owned it. Now, all the wealthy people, the money that they gained off of that, they still get to keep that. But generational debt gets canceled. How many of you would love to have a year where all of your debt is canceled? Anybody like that plan? Yeah. Who wouldn't love that plan? Visa. Right? Yeah, wait. Would not love that plan. And so it might not surprise any of you that Jubilee never happened. In all the history, the recorded history of the Jewish people, Jubilee never occurred. Because Jubilee is great news for the poor, but terrible for those in power. Jubilee is great news for those in prison, but terrible news for the people that got the land of the person that's in prison. Because the reality is, for Jubilee to happen, it requires God's people to live in it. You catch what I mean by that? Like, you could have it in the scriptures, and there are lots of things in the scriptures we don't necessarily live into. Jubilee is one of those things. God can proclaim, this is Jubilee. But then if we go, I don't think so. Maybe Jubilee, according to my calendar, Jubilee is next year, I think. And it keeps getting pushed back and pushed back, and there are reasons why, and it just never occurred. Jesus stands up in the synagogue and unrolls the scroll, and Jesus proclaims Jubilee and says, this is the year. This is your moment. I'm standing before you saying that Jubilee is happening right before your eyes. And everybody's like, cool, we're waiting.
Show us Jubilee.
And then Jesus sits down.
Because so often what we do as God's people is that we look forward to God somehow showing up and magically changing our situation. But God proclaims Jubilee and says, okay, I am proclaiming Jubilee. This is the year. Now go do your job.
There's an accompanying passage in this in the lectionary. The lectionary is the book that there's three courses of years A, B, C, and there's churches all around the world that are doing the same passage today. The accompanying passage in the lectionary for today is Apostle Paul talking about the gifts that are given, that to some people have gifts of hospitality, and some people have gifts of prophecy, some people have gifts, and it goes on. All of us have different gifts, and they work together, and we are one body. And there's the reason why that passage is accompanying this one is because it is our job. Jubilee is our job. To go out into the world and to proclaim freedom, to proclaim liberation, to proclaim kindness is the passage that we read in the New Testament. It has this translation of that will give sight to the blind, where actually the translation is to let people out of prison because it's dark in the prison. That's our job, is to go out and to free people, to proclaim freedom. Jesus proclaimed that passage to his hometown of Nazareth. They didn't receive it. In fact, as the passage goes on, they violently reject it. That is not something that we are going to do. We were wanting miracles. We were wanting you to do amazing things, to wow us and to blow our minds. And Jesus says, nope, this is yours. Go. And so the words of Jubilee keep on moving. They travel through the ages, looking for a group of people that is willing to hear them, to willing to catch them and to say, we as God's people will live in Jubilee. We will live in the freedom and the celebration and the joy of God's people. We will utilize the gifts that God has given us, and we will unite them together, every single one of us. Not a single spectator, no matter how much you're paying for the ticket, not a single spectator is here in the church, because we are God's people living in Jubilee. Not every one of our gifts is a superstar gift. Some of them are small, but all of them are vital. The goal is huge. We are moving this great ball that we've been given down the field one hard-fought yard at a time. There is opposition, of course. There are people with much to lose as God's people advance kindness, as we advance equality, justice, compassion, liberation, joy, and love. There are people who know that they will lose if we get our ball down the field, that their way of living their life, the things that they were happy doing, they will no longer be able to do if we get that ball down the field. So much so, sometimes they even put on our jersey and we throw the ball to them thinking they're on the team, and then we don't realize it until they start running the other way and we've lost some yards. But don't despair. This is our moment. God has proclaimed Jubilee, and it is now up to God's people to bring it to the world. God's Spirit goes with us. God's gifts move through us so that we can go from here and do our job. Amen.